I'd like to call the February 8th meeting of Ways and Means to order. And I have a motion to approve the December 12th and December 18th minutes.
Mr. Chair, I'll make the motion since I was the only one here.
Second?
Second.
Mr. Mullin, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed? All right, resolution, can I have a motion to adopt resolution number 9?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
I have discussion. My question is, $2 million for an elevator, I don't understand the cost of that, and I wonder if I'm missing something.
So this elevator shaft, unfortunately, is in a low-lying area on the SUNY Ulster campus. So during those very heavy rains, the entire shaft flooded. So it impacted both the elevator and the mechanical room. So this capital project would also include some engineering costs for them to be able to move that engineering room to higher ground to keep it out of that area where it could potentially flood again. This is the only ADA access in the library building, which is a unique space in how it dips in that corner of pretty much the campus. So this is larger cost-wise than you would typically expect for an elevator replacement, but it's due to the engineering work with the mechanical room.
Thank you for the explanation.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I suppose. Okay. Motion to adopt resolution number 10.
Second.
Second. Seconded. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Okay. Resolution to adopt resolution number 11.
Will be it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed? Okay. Resolution, can I have a motion to adopt resolution number 12?
Moved.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to adopt resolution number 15 as presented before.
Alluded.
Second. Second.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And I have a motion to block resolution 19, 20, 21.
Motion.
Second.
Chair, I'm going to recuse myself on resolution number 19, so I can't vote on the block.
All right, so we need to draw your have a motion to adopt resolution number 19.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
Is there no one?
On the basis of voluntary employment.
Thank you. Motion to adopt resolution number 20.
I move to block 20, 21, and 22.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor of blocking?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to adopt the block first.
Move.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. I have a motion to adopt resolution 23.
Move it.
Second.
Second.
Mr. Hanson, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution, and motion to adopt resolution 24.
Move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Just Chair, I want to make a no on that, just so we can discuss it on the floor.
Resolution, can I motion to adopt resolution number 25?
Move it.
Second.
I'll move it.
Chair Nolan, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Resolution number 20, can I motion to adopt resolution number 26?
Moved.
Second. Chair Hanson, discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. Motion to adopt resolution number 27. Second. Mr. Collins. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed? So carry. Resolution number 20. And motion to adopt resolution number 20.
Moved.
Second. Discussion? The only question I have, which is it's executive. I want to know the number of people served.
it's a separate question. I'm not going to hold it up here, but it just, you know, I'd like to have, for any of these resolutions going forward, that, you know, if we're paying a contract fee, how many people are being served under these contracts, and so it gives us sort of a price per amount, and we know this, and I know through the controller's office, we have that position also doing that work, but if we could search on a routine basis, getting that information would be very helpful. Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion to adopt resolution number 20, no.
Move it.
Second?
Second.
Mr. Nolan, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution number, can motion to adopt resolution number 30? Move it.
Second.
Discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion to adopt resolution number 34?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second. Discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion to adopt resolution number 33.
So moved. Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed? Okay. Motion to adopt resolution number 34.
Go ahead.
Second.
Second. Mr. Nolan. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to adopt resolution number 35.
Moved.
Second.
Second.
Comments? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution, motion to adopt resolution number 36.
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed? Carried. Motion to adopt resolution 37.
I'm moving.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? Bill, I just say I asked for a question about how much the per cost for meals are here, and it turns out these were $8.99 for a regular meal and $12.99, I think it was, for $13.99. Sorry, I don't remember the exact number.
For the specialties?
Yeah. I just think, you know, again, we need to be mindful of per unit costs of things and see if there's potential for other ways of doing this that's maybe even wider spread throughout the county. Contracting maybe with local businesses in the future, just something to keep an eye on going forward.
To add to that, and we've created that position in the comptroller's office beyond just looking at how much we're getting per meal and making a judgment of success off of that. We've talked about surveys to actually talk to the people that are receiving the services to get, I mean, if all the meal, I don't care how much we're paying, if it's all going in the garbage and people aren't eating most of it, there's got to be a way for us to judge the services that we're giving out in a lot of different ways. This would be an easy one to do a survey on. People aren't going to mind telling us how they like the food, but that's the kind of thing that we're hoping to get out of that position. So I hope that we start to do some of those surveys we were talking about, getting a feel for these different services we're providing and how people are what they're telling us about their satisfaction with it.
Excellent point. That's there, Norm.
Office for Aging, I think, has done some informal surveys. I'm not sure how formal they are, and they've reported that these are extremely well received, especially the specialty meals. They have kosher and other non-gluten options. So some of that material, information has been reported back in the health committee in the past year. So maybe we could just ask them to, you know, bring that back, update, and if it needs to be formalized, then that would be very interesting to see. But my informal surveys of people is this is one of the most popular programs in the county.
Any other discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Motion to adopt resolution number 38 is presented for support. Discussion.
I'll move it.
Second. Second. Discussion.
Yes. So we have an amended version of the law in front of you. Resolution here is courtesy of legislator Maloney, who had the foresight to realize that if we did make a change here, we'd need to have a public hearing and a law. And legislator Maloney has also cooperated with a working group that was established to look at how to do this. And so you're seeing amendments to the law as it was originally sent out in the packet that include a definition of non-passive activity that would be something that the operators, well, should probably read it, any activity made available to an occupant requiring regular, continuous, and substantial participation or cost to the operator during the fiscal year. That definition would apply to a new category for allocating the occupancy tax according to either room or board, and it's a category that would provide for 20% going towards room and 80% going to board. So we believe this corrects an inequity where these non-lodging activities would be taxed at the new higher 4% rate. The working group did meet with some of the operators, and they were able to provide substantiation for this allocation, as well as descriptions of the types of activities that they offer, which are, range from snowboarding and ice skating to horseback riding and dinner theaters, all-inclusives that are offering these types of activities that would be included in this new category are operating sort of like cruise lines. You can go and stay there for weeks probably without ever having to leave. Content of the law is pretty straightforward, and this is to schedule a public hearing. So it was amended in laws and rules, so it comes to you with these amendments already accepted there, and so I'm hoping that we can just move this out. And if Legislator Maloney has anything else, I hope that we could give him the opportunity to speak on this.
Most of the people here were here in the last meeting, so I don't need to say much. I think that any a little more clarity to stop anybody but the true all-inclusives from taking advantage of the carve-out that we're doing only helped. I was happy with it. I think down the road we should probably explore it to see if there's any other businesses that we didn't intend to use the language or still are using it, and to see if there's any more clarification or enforcement help we need to do. But I'm happy at this point.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to say I want to thank everybody for their work on this. We should have passed it last year, but we didn't. We should be voting on just the amendment today. But we do have a public hearing coming up March 19th. Hopefully, this will be on the agenda after the public hearing on March 9th, and we can vote for it after the public hearing and get this done instead of waiting another month. Sir Collins?
Just to be clear, the room board versus the room percentage versus the board percentage. So the room percentage is being taxed at 4%, is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
What's the board percentage being taxed at?
You mean what the all-inclusive is going to be paying?
No. So what confuses me, and I apologize because I wasn't here in the last session when you guys did all of this work on this. So there's, if you go to a hotel and you pay your own breakfast, you're paying 7% sales tax on a breakfast, right? So what's happening here under this circumstance?
So, well, continental breakfast is usually included. I don't think you're paying any. I think you're just paying the bed tax on the room and board. If they include a breakfast at a hotel, I don't think you're paying any tax on that either. This is more about the activities that are.
I think it's actually what happens is the customer is not paying for anything, as far as they as their experience goes. But the occupancy tax that Ulster County charges is in addition to sales tax. So if any activity or meal or entertainment is provided that would otherwise be taxable, it is taxable at these all-inclusive locations as well.
I'm sorry, you answered my question, and it's additional to sales tax. That's why I was
concerned. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other discussions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Resolution. All right, I'm going to stop myself here because it's going to get very old real quick for me already. We're only halfway through.
unless otherwise stated, all motions are going to be to adopt.
Correct.
Unless there's an objection to that method, going forward, all resolutions will be unless otherwise stated. Okay, everybody's good?
Always my intent.
For the record, thank you. All right. Can I get a motion for resolution number 39?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Is there a motion for number 40?
Moved.
Second? Discussion?
Yes. No discussion.
Okay.
So I got ahead of myself.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Opposed? Motion number 41?
Moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion for resolution number 42?
Moved.
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion for resolution number 43?
Moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion for resolution number 44?
Moved.
Second.
Discussion?
I do have a question on this also. $138,000, $139,000 for a dishwasher. Seems like a lot.
I can speak on that. It's not like a dish. It's like would take it's the length of the room and beyond.
Making sure here.
Yeah. And
a lot of dishwasher.
I think it's the original one that was in there, and it's for
Okay.
So.
To that, I will just say, which the answer has been there, and so have I would encourage, especially all of our new legislators, but especially those on this committee, to take it towards the law enforcement center, because there are going to be expenses there, and it's a building that unfortunately wasn't done right the first time, and there's going to be a couple of expenses over the next 2 years, so I would encourage and set that up, or through our staff, we can set that up, but please, it's very eye-opening to go through that place.
And Mr. Chair, maybe Natalie, you could set up a tour for this committee at some point. So.
Take a road trip for them. We'll be happy to. And maybe we're the chair of the host.
Maybe we have a meeting at the chair up there.
Okay, thank you. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Please. Mr. Carey. Motion resolution number 45.
Moved.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Please. Mr. Carey. Motion resolution number 46. Second. Is it second? Second. Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed? Carried. Motion resolution number 47.
Discussion.
Second. Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed? Carried. Motion for resolution number 48.
Moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution number, motion for resolution number 51.
Moved.
Second.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to block 52 through 56.
Move the block. Move
second.
To block.
Second. Mr. Roberts, discussion. All those in favor of blocking?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion to move the block.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. Mr. Roberts.
I'd just like to add that we've been getting these park grants in front of us the last 3-4 months. Still, to my amazement, I don't understand why they all couldn't have been done 4 months ago at once. A lot of towns could have been moving forward on these through the winter months, and now they're pretty much up to April, spring. But, I just want to make that point.
Somebody from the tech office into that phone?
Well, ARPA, I've been at ARPA committee meetings where we've discussed it.
Yeah, I was just going to say in terms of, answer that we've gotten is just in terms of the logistics of the ARPA team being able to handle the contracts at a certain amount number at a time. A few of them weren't ready to go into contract at the, you know, in previous months. But it's our, the answer that we've kind of been given is that it's been an issue mainly of manpower, or excuse me,
staffing.
Person power or
staffing.
Staffing.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we have a team full of ARPA people that were hired literally for this. Speaking to Amber's at those meetings, hearing her opinion on how it should go, talking to other people in that field, I feel as though, I literally, if we kicked it to Amber and Natalie, it would have been done in like 3 weeks. It's just it was a failure of staff. It's all we hired them to do, but essentially that was the main job, and it's taken forever. And there are towns that are not breaking ground when they like to because of how long it's taken. And a lot of the cost, when I was asking questions in one meeting about how much money we actually have left over, they couldn't even tell us because nothing had even been entered into the financial system that was done. So not only weren't we finishing up these applications and getting these things out, the money that we were expending, we weren't even documenting it in our financial system in real time. So it's just been a failure of ARPA staff, plain and simple.
Yeah, just another perspective on that. We received $34 million, and we didn't have one project for $34 million, or even 3 projects or 10 projects. We have more than 34 projects, and I've seen the reports that came to the ARPA committee regularly of the amount of the expenditures. So there may be a gap in terms of getting that input into the financial systems, and that is, you know, we've identified a gap, let's fix it. But this is $34 million. Some of these projects we have people working on, that, like the purchase of Elizabeth Manor, where we had projects going forward, going backward, we had federal monies, and all of these grants had to be dealt with through that federal bureaucracy. So if there was any question about anything, it had to go back. So yes, glass half empty, but potentially also glass half full. The communities that I know of that have received these funds are extremely happy to have them. And I've heard that there are real problems in other counties with actually moving the monies through and expending them. And I think our county has done extremely well on that already. We're in very good shape. So we did have a team. Did the team have done better? Did they know the county system when they came in? No, they didn't. I feel very glad that we did handle it the way we did, because I think it would have been an extremely large workload for our already hardworking fiscal analysts and other staff to have taken this on if we hadn't brought in that team.
Ms. Emily?
Yeah, I was a while ago, I took a look at where Dutchess County were, and they were ahead on everything as far as what they had given out, what they were documenting. That was just that sky. I didn't look at any other counties. I will say that Elizabeth Street was mentioned, and when I think half or two-thirds of the legislature met to go and walk through Elizabeth Street, a lot of us were a little surprised that there wasn't a head of DPW there showing us bees' nests and broken windows and different things to do with the upkeep of the building. It was the head of ARPA. So we had a logistical problem to begin with. I don't know why the head of ARPA was overseeing the upkeep, physical upkeep of a building, and when I asked him about it, he said he had a background in construction. So I don't know what was going on with ARPA and why we had people, the head of ARPA, overseeing a capital project that wasn't going anywhere, but there was issues there. I don't know if it's half empty or full. It's just reality. These things aren't happening. We hire people to do them, and they seem to be doing other things.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion resolution number 57.
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? I just have a question. Is this replacing existing buses as part of our sort of fleet management program, or whatever we want to call it, or are these adding to our system?
They're replacing it to
gas powered, or are some of these electric that are being replaced?
The buses that are being replaced are internal combustion.
Okay. No, so we're not replacing any of the.
Yeah.
No.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carry. Okay, resolution number 58.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carry. Motion for resolution number 59.
Move.
Second.
Comments? Discussion? In favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carry. Motion for resolution number 60.
I'll move it.
Second.
Legislative comments? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. Motion for resolution number 61.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Legislative comments? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. Motion for resolution number 62.
Move it.
Second.
Second.
Haskin? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution number 63. Can I motion?
Move.
Second.
Second.
Legislative Hanson. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution number 64. Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Second.
Senator Collins. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution number 65. Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution number 66. Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution number 67. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution number 68 has presented.
Just back to 67. What do we know about liability with regards to this lease if something was to happen on the section that we own? We're completely removed from any liability?
So we, our insurance company, yeah, we have a certificate of insurance from Santa Fe, where we're additionally insured under their policy. So should anything happen on that deck, if you will, it would fall under their insurance.
How much are we covered up? So at any point, do
I
we ever become...
I think the aggregate's $3 million. I can get the aggregate.
Anything over that, would we be responsible for?
No, it would fall responsibility.
Back
to
okay.
Yeah.
I'll move resolution 68 as presented.
Yes. And second.
Yeah.
And I would say that we're asking that this be moved through Ways and Means tonight, and I am calling a special meeting of Public Works for February 13th for that committee to look at this again. They had postponed because of language that the legislator lives. Identified as missing from the easement that would hold Ulster County harmless, exactly the type of language that was just mentioned in relationship to the Santa Fe arrangement. And so that language has now been added, and so this resolution is dealing with the amended easement that contains the appropriate hold harmless language.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Resolution 70. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Mr. Nolan, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution number 71. Can I have a motion?
So moved. Second.
Legislative answer. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution number 73. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution number 74 as presented.
Move.
Okay, Mr. Hanson, discussion?
I would just like to note, this is the way we've always done things, and it's time to look at whether or not the way we've always done things is best practice. And I'm not going to object to the passage of this tonight because we obviously need to close out these books, but I do plan to be returning to you on this issue, and I don't believe this is best practice.
Mm-hmm. This is totally different.
This is not the way we're doing it. This is actually the opposite.
Oh, pardon me then.
Yeah. We were so convincing we did it that way ahead of time.
So we can learn from our mistakes, and instead of giving blanket permission to make adjustments as the director of budget seems necessary, we stop that, and these are actually certain specific transfers that we actually know we have to do, and we're in the know now.
Fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
And Chairman, yeah. If I may just quick, we expect that there will be another resolution like this next month doing something similar. The backup has been provided, but at this point we're looking at two transactions that need to be taken care of with this resolution. So,
and as I said during the budget process, I encourage us to be making budget modifications throughout the year so we are aware of where we're falling short and where we're maybe spending too much. This committee really should be empowered to do that, and I look forward to those amendments.
This is what we've talked about. This is the only debt. I didn't even know this was put in. That's good. Thank you. So we won't be doing it with the budget cycle anymore as far as just giving them carte blanche to go through.
Maybe I'm not clear on what you're saying.
Well, this is the end of the year. This is what we discussed.
Final adjustment.
Yes.
Where we normally would just give blank permission to make whatever they thought necessary. These are actually the specific adjustments called out.
Thank you.
The amount and the types. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution number 75. Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Hearing no one. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution number 76. Can I have a motion?
Move in.
Second.
Yeah, questions?
Yeah.
I'll go ahead, sir.
Can someone describe to me exactly what we're getting from Granicus? I asked because I need to tell people in Woodstock that we're getting them services because they want this badly.
So I have some experience. One of the towns I represent outside of Ulster County has dealt with Granicus for their short-term rental review. It's a town very similar to Woodstock, about 25% of their housing stock is short-term rentals, which is a huge amount. And they paid Granicus about $50,000, and they haven't really gotten much out of it. So I have some concerns about this company. I don't think they're that great. Now, I think Red Hook has dealt with them. So I just want to bring that to the floor, that this is not a great, fantastic company that's going to provide a great service.
Yeah, can we have a description of the process that was used to identify the firm, and also whether or not this is time sensitive, and if we have questions?
Yeah, that was my question. Is this time sensitive that we have to do this tomorrow? I can speak a little bit, Deputy Commissioner.
Yeah.
Thanks, Marilla. Finance. The additional services from Granicus that the towns are going to get is something called their address identification, where the towns will have access to basically a database of all listings of short-term rentals with pretty rich details of when they were posted, how long ago the last stay was.
Legal and illegal? Legal versus illegal also?
Not quite, because they will use that data to determine
if
it's illegal or legal. They will also get information about whether they are registered with the county. In addition, this contract increases the amount we pay Granicus because we're paying for a new module. It's called compliance monitoring. It effectively automates a lot of the letter writing and warning of unregistered or not compliant property. So it is pretty important to increase the enforcement that way. And the towns are expecting this. I think that planning is dealing more with them, but they're raring to go, especially with stock and others.
Expansion of this contract was recommended in one of our audits when we audited short-term rentals and bed tax.
Yeah, there's support for this approach, and the ability to track whether or not the entities are registered in the town is a really important feature. And so supervisors that I have spoken with who have concerns about this are happy with this software, this approach.
Woodstock is looking forward to this particular module that was spoken of, the compliance module.
Just to clarify, that's not what they'd be getting at initially.
Okay. I think they know that.
Okay.
At least they can get it right.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned with what, you know, legislator Kovacs has said, that they may not be the best provider of this information, but it's what we have at this point that we know about. So maybe if we find better providers later, we can do something different. But
is there any sort of, it's a one-year contract?
Yeah, it's an amendment to our existing, so that's my question is, when is our existing contract, do we know when that is up?
It looks like it goes through March 20.
Yeah.
If I could just add to say that this is actually going to lighten some of the paperwork of enforcement in the finance department. We are having staffing issues. I know we have the commissioner, so I don't want to speak over her, but I believe that this can result in better enforcement of occupancy tax in Ulster County, and is going to bring in more revenue than it's costing in contractual services, and will free up finance department staff to be working on other matters.
Yeah, where I'm struggling, I think it's what Legislator Kovacs brought forward, which is, you know, the effectiveness of the company. You know, well, I agree, all these things would be great if it was producing the data that we wanted, but the question I'm now having is, based on what he said, is are they actually producing this data for us? Are we capturing, is the company effective at capturing the short-term rentals that are out there, and do we know that?
It's really the customer service that I found to be not great. Have we talked to other towns outside of the county who have dealt with this company?
No, I guess I have a question again about, you know, what is our urgency? Do we have to do this month, or is there going to be a catastrophic?
I keep asking about this.
Yeah.
So, and that would be another one of my questions. Are some of the dissatisfactions possibly related to not having modules that we are actually providing? I think there will be some cries of dismay if we don't move forward with this from supervisors and towns that have been expecting it and waiting for it. I was getting calls on this back last year in the fall.
Yeah.
I have a quick question. So Red Hook contracted with this firm themselves directly.
Mm-hmm.
Are the towns that are going to... We're paying them more to get some of this information, but it's the towns that need the information. I mean, we're going to get a little something from it as far as are they. So this is going to deal with non-Airbnb, help us with VRBO and HomeAway, because Airbnb.
Every platform.
Mm-hmm. They monitor 60, 70 websites.
But it's the towns that need the information for enforcement purposes.
We do that. Yeah.
But what are we enforcing compared to the town? Yeah, but
so can I
what are we doing with that registration? We're more concerned. I mean, our biggest thing is the bed tax,
right?
And that agreement. Does this help us collect the bed tax from the smaller? That's what we're getting out of it. As much as a big part of what we're getting out of it. Are the towns going to get a break on some of on anything?
Yeah. So the main thing that
they're getting a lesser price.
Compliance. Yeah. It's compliance, and they get a break on the price for the compliance piece.
Okay.
Because right now they can't monitor compliance. They have no way to do it. To find compliance, they have to call the county. Someone's got to go to the county system, print off the ones for the town, send them to the town. The town then has to look through them on a paper. This gives them, I think, access to the system. That gives them much more ability to go through compliance themselves. So that's the biggest thing Woodstock is concerned about, is compliance. Because we have, you know, a certain number of Airbnbs, and we have three times that on the system.
Can I just add that towns will not have to contract with Brannicus for the compliance piece. They will still be able to come to the county and get the data of those identified short-term rentals in their town. It's just that they want to go that extra measure to use Brannicus' services, they can.
We're already giving the towns the lists. right? As far as,
you have no question.
Then that's the issue.
Yeah, I guess my question would be if there is a way to address the concern that's been raised about this company, is there a review point 3 months down the road or 6 months down the road? All our contracts contain a provision that we can get out of it. So I don't know how long it would take us to put something else in to replace this. I mean, if you're talking about going out to another bid, or is this even a sole source provider for this type of service? So if there is something that we can do that would allow us to feel more comfortable that if we are unhappy, that we have, you know, performance measures or some kind of checkpoint, perhaps that would be address your concern.
I think some sort of point where we get a partial refund of some kind. I think the company does that. When I negotiated a contract with Durankis, they put in whatever I wanted. So they're very flexible that way. They really want the business. So some sort of after 3 months, if the county can terminate this, you know, get 25% back. You know, some sort of. I think they're willing to work with you.
Director, insurance would be first.
Yeah, I'm just going to loop back to several conversations going on this. We did, and when I was downstairs in finance, I ended up having a conversation with the Dutchess County Department of Finance, which contracts were granted this on the countywide level. And knowing that there's obviously some very unique differences between the way the services that the towns are being provided and the services that the counties are looking for, not to discount what we're hearing from others, the county perspective of Dutchess County, they were really happy with the products. And part of the reason why we started looking at along with Comptroller Gallagher's investment, the audit that she put out, we also had those conversations and we started looking at some of the more modules that they had based on some of those conversations. So just so the committee knows, there was some reach out to some of the other providers or other users of Grant.
Thank you. And just so the committee's aware, Mr. Kovacs, the county has it as a standard, with the exception of one contract so far that I'm aware of. We have a cancel for convenience clause in all of our contracts, which I was shocked that actually people agree with these. I can't imagine companies agree with it, but apparently they do. With the exception of one contract that I'm aware of, all of them have had that in there, so we can cancel it at any time.
I think what Jason's saying though as well, though, if you could add some language about refunds with regards to how long in, and if they're willing to, you could end up getting some money back here and there that maybe you wouldn't get back if you didn't add the verbiage that he was saying they seem to be willing to take.
It is possible. I don't know if you need to or not. I just want to look at that language.
To do those kind of contract negotiations now would add delay, and so it's a question of the benefit from having that kind of language in against the burden of the delay, because we have it in front of us and it doesn't contain that language, I'm assuming, because certainly that should have, you know, we would have noticed. So
can I just mention one thing? I think the Grant's contract is not a standard contract. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm not sure if you'll get a contract that lasts, let's say, will issue you a refund. You can usually negotiate them if there is, you know, vast neglect on their part. You can usually get some type of credit from them, but to have actually a wording on that, I think it would be pretty hard for us to get.
Yeah, I'm struggling right now because normally in your past we've had a second meeting that I could say we could talk about this the week and be able to, you know, get some of these answers and look at the actual language. But now that we're down to, I mean, we technically have the ability to do a second meeting, but I'm trying to avoid using that right now, especially this first meeting. But these are exactly the reasons why the questions like that, that, you know, it brings up other questions that, you know, helps to have correct. So you, you know.
I just want to bring to your attention, to the committee's attention, that, you know, I've had a client with negative experience. But if everyone's on board, you know.
Yep, it's a valid point. I'm glad, you know, that's exactly what this committee should be doing, questioning things, you know, where there's performance and questions about,
is there anything that you can share that we should be watching out for or looking for, or that we can maybe provide to you based on what we've already worked with on?
You know, the issues were just the it took forever to get their report done. And then when the report was done, you know, the staff had to be trained how to use the software, and the training wasn't forthcoming, and just it went on and on and on. So it's just very poor customer service. That's basically what happened.
That's right. And of course, through the chair to Mr. Kovacs, does Red Hook still use Grantis?
I don't know the answer to that.
Have they explored other options, do you know?
No, that's not the municipality that I represent. So I've only been reading about that from in the paper of Red Hook.
So in the absence of a second meeting, I would say that we could still ask for this information, and we get a chance to vote on this. And if the additional information is, you know, more troubling than what we've heard so far, then we can vote this down and start from scratch. It would just be a week difference, really. So I would favor moving this forward and getting further information, and then we decide next week if we're happy enough with this or whether we go back out to bid or look for something else.
All
in
favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
Resolution number 77.
I'm
over. Second. Yeah, so last year, I think, we updated basically our investment policy. That wasn't really anything but a piece of paper. And I still think it needs quite a bit more. I also think that we're the policy-making body. Policy should begin and end with us. We have a five-member board that will be getting together over the next couple of months. But there's also not, and I've talked to Amber about it. Amber helped me with some language. As far as there's not a lot of expectation written in, there's a lot left unsaid about what we even want to get out of the board that is going to be appointed by, I think, the controller of the exact minority, majority,
chair,
and the chair?
Chair and myself.
Chair, minority, yeah. So basically, where we found ourselves was back in around 2018, we were banking with TD Bank. Kind of out of nowhere, the former commissioner of finance and the former executive decided to move $236 million all at once out of TD Bank. They had just built a branch. Many people from the bank quietly complained about the fact that they didn't really even have a chance to match, and they didn't really think we were getting a great deal to move that amount of money out of nowhere without a lot of explanation. The only explanation we got was not that we were getting a good deal. It was that the county executive wanted to get away from the bank, the TD Bank, because of some little study that was done about lending practices to minorities. So we took $236 million, I believe it was, moved it over to the Bank of Greene County. At that point, we got about 6 months of good return on our money. At 6 months, it went away. And from that point forward, we've lost millions of dollars on that city money. So the concerns I have, and a lot of them came from several reports that the comptroller put out, is that with a smaller bank, you know, if we went to the Bank of Greene County right now and asked for the majority of our money back, I don't think they could give it to us, which is kind of alarming to think about that. There's a smaller bank. I know you'll talk about being collateralized. I think we need to learn more about what that would mean and how long it would take and how that would work if the Bank of Greene County did go under a smaller bank. They certainly could not cut us a check for all our money right now. They gave those out low interest loans, I believe, and now with interest rates going where they are, they may lose money trying to sell those loans to pay us if we wanted to. Anybody I've talked to in government, in accounting, whether in government or the private sector, does not think it's prudent to have all of our money or the majority of our money sitting in one bank, especially a small bank. What this policy does is it mandates that not more than, we can't be more than 1% of the total portfolio in a bank. We're right now about 10% of Bank of Green County's portfolio. We shouldn't have more than 50% of our overall cash in one institution. Quarterly reports from the Commissioner of Finance provide a cash flow analysis. Amber did a great job defining what that cash flow analysis would be made up of. But here's the thing. I'm not looking for this to be passed today. I'm looking for this to be passed along to that board that's going to be getting together. They may send us back something that in part has this very close, or maybe they add on quite a bit, maybe they take off quite a bit, and then we have this discussion again and codify it the way us policymakers are supposed to. I just wanted to get this out, and I really think that's the way this is supposed to work. The comptroller pointed out some things. We were losing money. There was some risk there that maybe we weren't comfortable with. What resulted was the updating of the policy last year and this board getting together. The last thing I'll say is, and I see the DA down there who's dealing with some stuff with our former Commissioner of Finance right now. And to have two people make a decision like that resulted in the overall value and stock price of this bank go up to a point where a lot of money could have been made. And having one of those people be involved in what he's been involved with embezzlement gives me a lot of pause. I've actually had conversations with some lawyers and investigators over at the SEC about looking up a small list of names to see if they've invested in Bank of Green County over the last 5 or 6 years. But it doesn't smell good. I really don't know how the former executive who made all the decisions that was the catalyst for this, for these reports, for these audits, for our original amendment last year to the investment policy, to now this is one of the five members that's going to be making recommendations to us. It seems like there's only about, I think you could take the president of the Bank of Green County, the former Commissioner of Finance, and probably the former executive as the only three people that I say, no, it's inappropriate for it to be on there. And our executive chose one of them. It's bizarre to me. I think more legislators should probably voice if they feel the way I do, and I know talking to a lot of people off the record, they do feel that way, that it's inappropriate, and I hope we decide to send this over to this board to look at and give us their opine on as a starting point and template for what we're looking for. I was one of the three legislators that wrote the amendment last year that we passed to the, and this is what I had in mind. But I don't think Hines should be there, and I think we should send this off and then get it back and take a look at what they tell us.
Yeah, I appreciate the direction in updating the policy, and I concur with many of the points in terms of not aggregating funds in a single bank, for instance. And I'm not going to be dissuaded from my support by the commentary that we heard.
A couple questions, Joe. Are you concerned about the financial stability of Bank of Green County?
I think, you know, when you invest, when you're talking to an investor, a lot of times you hear it's good to have a certain percentage of your portfolio be safe. That's why they say invest in Fortune 500 companies. Because if the Fortune 500 companies go down, everybody's going down. There is no money. Mm-hmm. So the idea that we should probably have some of our funds with a larger bank or somebody that would, it would take a catastrophic event, global event, for something to happen, I think is fair to say.
Now, we only can put our funds in a commercial bank, is that the deal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And there's not a tremendous amount around here. I mean, there's Chase Bank, there are commercial banks.
TD
Bank.
That opened up a branch right next to us.
Yeah, they have a branch right on out of Ulster. Yeah, one in Highland too, I think.
Yeah.
I think you raised some good points.
I think it's a process. I think we should, you know, we need a policy. This investment board, is this a new board?
It is. It was added to the amendment we made last year to the investment policy. So it's never gotten together yet.
Okay, so it's a new board. Well, it's like the Human Rights Commission. How do you remove a member of that board?
We'd have to see a fine print. Kevin, do you know if we can remove your appointed position?
I don't think so.
I kid, but not really. I mean, it's a legitimate issue. I mean, you know, what if one of these people on this board does something?
If Jen came to her senses?
No. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about, you know, again, just like at our last meeting, you know, someone on that board, is it a new board? You know, I mean, I question, you know, is it necessary to have this new board? I mean, we elected an executive and a controller. I would think that between the two of them, we could have some sort of policy. You know, do we need a five-member board to do this work? I don't know. I just think it's kind of make work for people.
Talking to Minority Leader Roberts, he's bringing in a pretty impressive investment investment field. So yeah. I do think it's worth. Okay. Our finance is on its way to prison. Somebody's got to be able to tell us what to do with $236 million. I do think it's appropriate to bring in five experts and see what they have to. And all they're going to do is make recommendations. But I don't think you have lawyers for legal work, and you have people with.
I'm just asking questions about judges. It's all new to me, so I appreciate the, and I do think we need some sort of policy. So I think this is a conversation to keep having.
That's your comments.
The conversation that's been going on really has nothing to do with the actual resolution. The resolution is to modify the existing or the proposed investment policy. If we can focus on that. At this point in time, I don't think it's prudent for us to pull all our money out of Green County Bank. I think it would bankrupt the bank. Whether or not it's a good idea long term, how do we get there? This is part of the question. The other question I have is, what interest are we getting from Green County Bank? What interest will we get from other banks? Because we can only do commercial banks. Mm-hmm. The interest is not going to be phenomenal in any commercial bank. Well, what's interest we're getting there? My understanding, and I actually expressed this concern to the new finance commissioner when I first met her, that we have a lot of money in one bank. And my understanding is that it's distributed among thousands of banks through a system that I can't think of the name of.
Interfi,
thank you. So that is, so the investment itself is not at risk if the bank were to go bad or if something were to happen, because it's all FDIC insured. So that's part of the thing that really matters to me. And as far as who should be on the board, that's not subject of the resolution here. So I think that's not something that we need to talk about, and as far as the quarterly reporting, I think that's great. I believe that the commissioner has already been doing monthly reporting.
No.
We'll be doing monthly reporting.
Yeah. We were told at one point we got quarterly reports, but when we asked to see him, it turned out.
I understand. We have a new commissioner now. And the new commissioner is saying we'll do monthly reports. So if that's great, that'll be quarterly. Thank you, quarterly. Sorry, I heard monthly. So I don't know what the point of this is other than to say, you know, we should invest all of our money in one place. That probably makes sense. How do we move forward with the other conversation that Legislator Maloney has been saying that's not part of this resolution?
Yeah, I agree with that. And despite agreeing with it, I'm going to say that if I were putting together a panel to give us investment advice, I would look to people that have been able to grow county budgets by substantial amounts over sustained periods of time. I think that what we've been presented with is the, a discussion starter and a recommendation that we let the investment group look at this. And so I think I would be headed towards a motion to postpone for a month and just ask what do we need to put on the table or send to the investment group, or do we just let them take this at face value and then come back to us? Because it has started a useful conversation here. And I am reassured by the federal insurance on those you know, distributed network. That has been my gold standard when I'm working with nonprofits in the past, is no more than you could have federally insured. And this qualifies even with where it is right now. But the idea of these numbers in a single bank is hard, and yet there are constraints. So I'd like to hear, you know, some, maybe we could ask this group to come and have a discussion with us or provide some kind of report to us before we decide what changes to make in the investment policy. Because this feels a little bit like we're just pulling something together without really grounding ourselves in it. And this committee, I think, should be well-grounded before we change policies.
Yeah, I certainly did say that this is really a discussion starter and not intending it for it to pass. And as Legislator Collins pointed out, we're getting a little far afield from this actual resolution. So if we can stick to that, I've got Legislator Roberts next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to commend Legislator Maloney for bringing this forward and all the other legislators for talking about this. As you know, I did get an appointment to the board. And with that, I did a lot of research on who I should appoint and what the purpose of what's going on. I talked to the comptroller. She was very helpful, gave me a lot of knowledge, spoke to other people. I looked at the best practices. And I do agree with Legislator Collins, we cannot take all our money out of Greene County and just like that. It would have to be morphed over a couple of years. Just like if we come up with a sales tax agreement, I'm going to get off here again. We can't cut the city of Kingston off completely in 1 year. We have to wean them down a little bit as we move forward. You know, I agree we should let the investment board take a look at this, what our intent is. Hopefully they can come up with some ideas. And I'm sure most of them will say, hey, we shouldn't have all our money in Greene County. There's plenty of banks in Ulster County. Why should, you know, we should share the wealth a little bit and not just, you know, put all our eggs in one basket. You know, there's, you know, we did that. We diversified, you know, a lot of our services, you know, Rumco, family of Woodstock, we just don't give it all to one. We spread our wealth around. And I think Greene County, you know, should get used to the fact that they might not be our number one bank in the future.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that that might be true, and I've never advocated to pull all our money out of bank in Greene County, but isn't that scary? Just a couple of years ago, we put our money into a bank. And what if we needed, what if something catastrophic happened? What if we needed our money? We shot down some big bonds, 15 and 20 million in the last meeting, in case we need a big lump sum of money for some reason, real quick. What if we needed a lot of money? We put this bank under. And what does that say about what they did with our money? Because TD Bank cut us a check for $236 million in like a day. And now we're speculating that if we went and got a large portion of our money, this bank goes under. I mean, usually when you give someone business, you're helping them stay afloat for longer. Now we've put them in dire straits by giving them the money if we ever need it back. It's not just if we make the decision. We may not be able to make the decision. We may need this money over the next couple of years. And to have it in a bank this size, and then all these other things you're talking about with FDIC are being collateralized, that takes time. So it turns into a mess that didn't, probably should have never happened, and a mess that we slowly need to diversify ourselves out of. And I don't know what the process is, Chairman, on sending, like making a, and a, sending this over officially with a letter from the committee saying, hey, this is a starting point. You tell us, scrap the whole thing. Don't scrap, save some of it. But we're looking for your recommendations, and here's our starting point. When you give it back, we'll decide what to do with it.
Yeah, to answer that question, I don't know that we formally have to do that. I think we can, ask Natalie to send over my request for them to review your resolution and ask them to comment on it, and then we can bring it to postpone it this month, the next month, in hopes that they
will probably be a couple of months, yeah.
Yeah, and start.
I appreciate that.
Deputy Capuano, and then.
Yeah, just one, a couple points of clarification. In 2016, we did RFP banking. So that's when Bank of Greene County was chosen. It was actually through a request for proposals, a competitive process.
Yep, I've seen that.
Okay, back in 2016. Former county executive, there were discussions with him being on the investment committee, and he would have, in my opinion, been a great choice with his history of government and financial stewardship, as Kathy had said. For personal reasons, he will not be on the board. I just wanted to provide that clarification as well.
I just want to
acknowledge Legislator Maloney. I agree with you. We should not have had this much money in one bank, and this percentage in one bank. My point is we can't pull it out quickly.
I agree.
And that's something that we need to look at, and we need to make sure it happens. Is it appropriate to make a motion to postpone consideration on this?
You can, it's the control calendar's better.
Yep.
I'd like to make some comments before we take action. So I've spoken to the president of the Bank of Greene County, and they would indeed have to take a working capital loan if we made a significant exit. But they have the resources to do that and feel that they could accommodate that. I urge all parties, and I was texting with the chair today, to convene this advisory board as quickly as possible. Let's get these last appointments done. Let's get moving on this. We are not just limited to investing in banks. There are cooperative investment vehicles that other counties and municipalities are taking advantage of that pay more. Now, someone asked what we were earning. We're earning over 5% on the Deposit Plus account, thank goodness. These cooperative investment vehicles are paying a hair's breadth more, very similarly liquid, or maybe even more liquid to the extent that we're concerned about them having to take a working capital loan. So, you know, I'm hoping that the Investment Advisory Board will convene quickly and will come back with some recommendations that include reviewing entities like NYCLASS and NYLAC and other things that are muni trusts that are things that we should be taking advantage of. Thank you.
How much were we getting from 19 to 21?
Less than 1%. And interest rates were low at that time, but we do estimate that $4.5 million has been earned for, you know, the benefit of the taxpayers by moving to that higher investment vehicle. We're still leaving money on the table at this time.
I'm going to motion to postpone this.
Second.
Second, Mr. Melon. Discussion. All those in favor of postponing?
Aye.
Aye. Please. All right. Resolution number 78. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All right. Discussion.
This is my motion. I put this motion on because I'm aware of at least one of our nonprofits who has not filed a 1090. Sorry, a 990. It's their tax return. Whatever the numbers, I believe.
990.
Thank you. 990 for 2022. And that's a very significant. To me, it's a hole that they haven't filed that, and I don't feel like we should support that. I do feel like we need to give them time to get out of that hole. They've had an issue that we've had, which is that they've had their finance department's been decimated by people leaving and going other places. I'd like to give them time to fix that, but in the same manner, I'd like to make sure that they do not fall in this trap in the future. So I believe that we should be able to access and audit their 990s, and they should be able to be filed.
I 100% agree. I like this resolution. I think if you compare the amount of nonprofit vendors that we are contracting with from even 10 or 20 years ago, I mean, it seems like there's the nonprofit world is growing, and we might have some issues in some of them. My only question is, you knew it, but would our finance department or have known it or purchasing, how are we gonna, there's an added, and I think the juice is worth the squeeze, but I'm saying we can't just, man, we have a problem with putting policies out and then not working with the, sometimes it's our fault, sometimes it's not, but we have to make sure that these policies are being followed, otherwise we're wasting everybody's time. So how do we make sure that we're gonna check on that? That seems like something reasonable to check. I don't know if the comptroller would be involved in that, but that's got to be something that we can check. But how do, what is the logistics of that?
Checking for 990s is basically going to the nonprofit website, your IRS, and they can download the 990s.
But who's going to do that, and when are they going to?
It's a good question.
Yes.
Go ahead, sorry.
I think that as part of the contracts, we could build in a requirement that the applicable state and federal forms be provided at the filing deadline or the extension. and ask that the departments that are receipt, you know, that are managing those contracts have a checkbox that they have to have that checked off, so that then it would trigger a review.
And part of this is that this is what the state does. This particular agency is not receiving funds from the state until they file the 990 from 2022.
Yeah, we absolutely, as Legislator Maloney said, support this. We really need to be holding everybody accountable to the same standards. Part of the concern, based on the resolution here, it's saying may, option two withhold. We would have to do this across the board to be treating everybody exactly fairly. I do believe we could.
Where are you reading?
Reading on the resolution.
Which the resolve?
It is in the resolve.
Which one?
It's the first resolve.
Shall contain the option to withhold.
Shall contain the option to withhold. So again, that creates the option that if some don't file, we could still pay that final quarterly payment. To your point, Kathy, including this within that contract language really gives you both that teeth you need and also the ability to hold them accountable in that structure. So more of a technical.
Now, does that? But if there's a not-for-profit that has an explanation, they had an issue with staffing, it's going to be done, this gives us the option to continue, would we take away our ability, we'd be taking away the ability, we would just shut off.
Yeah, I think if we do it within, it's tricky. That is a good point, Liz. It is tricky on how you can navigate it. But again, it's a requirement that they file, and maybe but it's a requirement that they file. So again, no matter your size, you're required to file. I do understand the concern, and I think if we look at this and we want to do a full policy or we want to include contract language, we could certainly do so. That is a little more of that detail that we may all be looking for, with exactly who will be confirming, how it will be confirmed, and at what time point.
It would be fine taking the option out, if we can amend here.
Rather than amend this on tonight, I don't think this is time sensitive. I would request that maybe we hold this for a month and talk through which we want to keep in, whether we want it in contracts, whether we want it in our legislative policy, or both, because I think we all agreed here it's heading in the right direction. I think we can get better implementation if we take a little time with it.
Yeah.
I would just like to add, you know, we support this in the Comptroller's Office. We think this is a great idea. We would actually urge that there's consideration of whether or not audited financials for those size entities that are required to produce them also be submitted to the county. We have had some audited financials submitted to the county that are very concerning and may result in changes to payments to contract agencies. So I think going forward, that may be something that I would urge Legislator Collins to consider as well for certain size entities.
Yeah, and I would just say, if you could actually forward that to Legislator Collins as an amendment to this, I think if we postpone this month, try to get this right the first time, and also, you know, my concern is, well, I don't think there's any issue that would exist for any of the nonprofits, but I would like to at least ask them if they see any reason why this would be a problem for them doing. I can't imagine what it could be, but at least some of our major, especially points out, we contract with a lot of not-for-profits in this county, sending it out to at least maybe the top 5 or 10 of them saying, hey, this is potentially coming. Do you see any problem with this that we're just not thinking of? And if, or maybe they have some ideas of something more we should be doing, as a comptroller, I'll just point out. But I mean, this is, certainly correct. Great direction, absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Collins, for putting this in. On the third resolved, we need a supermajority to give a waiver. Any reasoning behind that?
I think it's just to make sure that we have consensus, that we have a strong consensus, a strong opinion that we should give a waiver.
You should like that.
You know, the last time I seen this put in a resolution was I did it back in 2008. We get a supermajority to raise taxes. And maybe we should, have really a consensus on that.
Any other discussion? Make a motion to postpone.
Make a motion to postpone for a month.
I'll second. Question? All those in favor of postponing?
Aye.
Aye.
Resolution number 79, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution number 80, can I have a motion?
Moved.
Second?
Second.
Second. Discussion?
Yeah, just a, I just wanted to point out to the chair, in the description of the resolution, I don't know if it's just a typo of plural villages when it's just referring to Allendale. I don't know if that needs to be changed.
A grammatical amendment.
Title. I have the same question.
So, 80, John, so now you guys have, or the village board in Allendale had already done what we just did the other day.
Yeah.
So I will be, Saugerties will be doing this hopefully next month or so. Is it, so are we going to get that? So you're aware that, did they send that over to you?
Yeah.
So now what the mayor have to do is, you send him whatever you sent. Allendale, he signs it, and then next month we'll hopefully be doing this in time for their budget cycle.
Yes.
Thank you.
So we don't actually need an amendment to strike the S on village this? Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Got a motion for resolution number 81 as presented for you.
I'll move it.
Second? Second. Discussion?
I'll lead off, Mr. Chairman. I first seen this resolution in front of ARPA after they voted on it. Every resolution on the ARPA agenda had backup information. This resolution has none. I had a lot of questions, like how much is the village short? What steps are they doing to help themselves? How much money they got from ARPA already? They got $100,000 for a grant where they have to match, come up with another, that's through the county. They also got $411,000 of their own money from ARPA. It's not known to me what they spent it on. I did take the liberty of calling Mayor Evan Trent, is his name, very professional young man. Just got elected 2 months into office, and he's thrown this in, on his table. And I did ask him a lot of questions. He had all the answers. I told him at any point, if I asked him something that he didn't want to answer, just tell me, I'm out of line. He answered everything. Right now, the village of Allendale is solvent. Doesn't have a problem paying its bills, but it will. It is, according to him, they were about $1.3 million short. They were hoping to get money from the Neville
water bill,
but that fell through only because Neville is not in their jurisdiction when the bankruptcy happened, supporting him. There was also certain things that happened that put them in this, like shutting down the village court, which they thought at the time it was consolidating, make things better, but that also eliminated their ability to collect revenue from the court system. They have also worked with the unions to eliminate overtime, which I'm glad that they're making steps. So right now they're about $1.1 million in the hole under this budget. They're also going to borrow $500,000 from the Mountain Reserve Fund, which needs to go to referendum, and the voters of Allendale have to pass that. So they're going to be anywhere from $1.1 million to $600,000 in the hole. And by us giving them $178,000 through ARPA, which I'm going to add, it's a stretch to come up with ARPA as a reasoning that they're COVID, as a reasoning that they're in the hall. My town I live in, Blackhill, could say that they're, we had increased taxes 8%. $178,000 would have been really helpful last budget season. And who would have thought an individual legislator would put it in a resolution to benefit their own town. It's really not me. And I say that sarcastically. Because I remember you on the floor telling me, we can't do vote on a landfill for Plattekill. 22 other legislators will be putting in resolutions so they can have a landfill in their town. Now, imagine next month, 22 legislators putting in a resolution to get $178,000. The problems with going on in the village of Ellenville is much more than a Band-Aid of $178,000. But I am sympathetic, and I'm sure everybody in this room is, to what they're going through. And, you know, I could advise everybody to pull the mayor. Is this the right approach to giving them almost $200,000 right now, which isn't going to help? It's not going to solve their problems. It's not going to fix things. It's not going to get them over the top. It's not even going to get them close to the top. What we should do is postpone this resolution, get the village in here and say, what can we do? How can we help you? How can we help all the towns? For $2.6 million, we could give every town in the city $200,000 and be equitable. And they could do it, you know, we have over $110 million in the bank. $2.6 million, not a lot of money. You know, if we give Ellenville this money, it's not going to get them through the year. You know, what can we do to help Ellenville besides give them the band?
So I'll leave
you
finished. Anyone cut you off at all?
I could go on and on and on.
Yeah, all that. I've answered a lot of your questions, if not all of them. I have a lot of answers, and then maybe I should have gone first because a lot of these will be addressed. So, Ellenville had a devastated negative impact because of COVID. The increased expenses, we all know everything, cost of everything went up, fuel, cost of supplies, all those things went up. The taxable limit, villages are different than towns, school districts, and the county, where we can exceed, we being all those other three agencies, municipalities, can exceed our taxable limit by having a majority vote, or maybe it's a supermajority, I don't know what it is, supermajority. We can exceed the 2% tax cap. Villages don't have that authority. They are set, their taxable limit is set by the state. They don't have a choice on what that number is. So to go from 2017 or 2018, don't quote me, it's one of those 2 years, they were at $3.4 million for their taxable limit. It was reduced down, and it's still to this day $3.1 million. So they can't raise, they can't tax the residents more than $3.1 million for the 2 square miles of the village. The Comptroller's Office has, for the last several years, listed Ellenville as one of the most severe fiscal situations in New York State. They've been sort of back and forth as the last place with Monticello. And it's really been a difficult time for them recovering from this, because costs keep on going up. There's just, unfortunately, there's no end in sight of the increased expenses that they've been incurring. Ellenville is a qualified census tract, which means they have a poverty rate of it's higher than 25%. It's actually 28% Ellenville, 28.1, I think is the exact number. That's 1.5 times the city of Kingston. So it is significantly impoverished in that area. The need for public safety, which is another reason why the overtime, the police department went from 2022 volume, the call for service was around 4,400. They went from that to over 8,000 calls for service, so doubling their numbers, including some pretty significant cases there of, there was a couple of investigations for potential murder, it turned out to be an overdose, I believe. There was a attempted murder. Some of those papers are going to go through. This resulted in a lot of investigation time, which, because of the, you know, Ellenville having its own municipal police department, they are first on scene and they're doing these investigations. They've had to do a lot of transporting of people with mental health issues to Kingston, which then requires calling in officers to backfill the officers that are now having to leave to go to Kingston and bring these people to Kingston Hospital or Health Alliance. So they've had a lot of increased need, and the difference here is, you know, a couple of those things. It's really, it's the poverty level in Ellenville, it's the taxable limit, how is it different from the other 20, and I said the same thing myself, Legislator Roberts.
you know, how can I sit here and say, and then if you argue against the other 22 towns and villages, and I say none of them have those things as going against them like Elmwood does. Now, going forward, how are you going to move forward on this? Well, there's a few things. One is that $178,000 actually does help them. It gets them over this short-term bridge that they need to get past, which is they'll run out of cash, which I'm sure the mayor relayed to you, in about 2 to 4 weeks. It's somewhere in that neighborhood, 2 to 4 weeks that they run out of cash. If we adopt this and it gets passed on Tuesday, I've had commitments from the exec side that this will hopefully go through pretty quickly to get the actual money to Alamo. That'll get them through, so this way the mountain money, which is $500,000, which will then get them that much closer, so now we're at $678,000. On top of that, M&T Bank is willing to loan them money, but that is a process also. That'll be another $500,000. That will get them to the 1.1 plus that they need to get through to the end of the fiscal year. They have just made, and I'm sure people have probably read if you read the journal, they have just made a change in leadership. The village manager is no longer there. They will be replacing him, from what I understand. So there are steps being taken. I've been meeting with the execs team, Deputy Capuano, met with the finance commissioner and their team. What can we do other than money? And quite honestly, everything is being done that can be done, and I appreciate their help in this, and the village appreciates it. Part of the other problem is the timeline for making the village whole in taxes. They were anticipating that happened in the 23-24 tax cycle. It didn't happen in time, so it won't be till 2025. So in that year, then you'll start having additional revenue coming because they have somewhere around $1 million in outstanding taxes that are owed to the village for property tax that people have not paid. And that list is being worked on. Part of this will be helped if the county has agreed to help with the process of auctioning. So there are steps being taken, and this is just a bridge to get them through so we don't have to shut down the police department, we don't have to shut down the water and sewer, the streets department. I mean, we're still in the winter season here. That $178,000 doesn't sound like it's going to do a lot. It gets them through until they can get the mountain money out, which is $500,000. And then we're also at the same time working on getting the money from M&T, which is another $500,000.
A couple of questions. One, wasn't it December? There was a ARPA parks. $100,000 each. Where are they coming up with that $100,000 that we just approved? Are they scrapping that?
So
I thought it was we're giving $100,000. They're going to come up with $100,000, and it was recent. It was like a month ago. What is going on with that?
I don't know. I have to ask. I don't know the answer to that.
Is $100,000 of this $170,000 going to the park, or are they just scrapping it?
Can they pull it?
I would hope that they would have already come to us with this. With the backup, I mean, that should be part of the backup with what they're doing with $100,000. We're just giving
going to one of the parks.
They're still going to do it?
Wasn't that town on the horse thing?
Yeah, it was a joint one between the town and the village. So it's run down by Drew Bank. Kind Services
are still getting $200,000 for that park.
Also, how is the town's finances?
The town finances are seemingly good, I guess.
What is the town giving them?
So they can't. That's the issue here. Same as the county. Without ARPA, this wouldn't be able to happen.
Could they enter into a consolidation agreement and absorb their debt?
No. So
why not?
You can't create a debt district. So dissolution versus consolidation.
So if it probably would be able to happen fast enough. But if the mountain money's drying up, correct? They've been living off this for years, and now it's about gone. No.
Sort of. There's a couple of projects. No, the amount of money is actually a restricted fund that has to be done by, as listed Robert pointed out, it's a referendum that is required that the voters actually vote to use of that money. So there's been several projects over the years that have used that money's been used to go towards, but it's not like it's being used as a reserve fund for covering operating expenses. This is the first time that it's going to be used for actual a reserve fund to do it, and the taxpayers approve it.
I feel as though this could be good money or this could be bad money, and I haven't heard any reason that that's going to be good money. Good money is money well spent, and I feel as though we should have got more. We like Kevin is saying, I'm hearing what he's saying. We should have gotten more from Ellenville on a lot of different things. I'm surprised, and I talked to you about it, and I was surprised that they didn't somehow see this coming, and that's the story we're getting. There's no way to really see this coming. But they got to consolidate. I don't see where they're ever going to, that I'm hearing a picture that this village is ever going to be standing on their own 2 feet. They need to consolidate. That's what I would like to hear from the village, that the village and the town coming to us and saying, look, help us get the village through. The consolidation process is beginning. We've already had, do they have a committee or a commission put together to start consolidating, you know, policing, tax collection, the building inspection, all these different things, and be done with the village? Because if the town is in good shape and the village isn't, it seems to me it makes sense for the town to take the village over. Most villages wouldn't, if you started from scratch, you would not have a village. The college in New Paltz, you might have a village there. Sawgrass would not have a village if we started from scratch. I'm guessing Ellenville would do the same. Why don't they start the process? Because I feel like we're kicking a can down the road, and in a year or two, they're going to be looking for more money. I just don't see what I'm hearing that they're ever going to be able to. It's what Kevin's saying about the courts, they've made some bad decisions, they've lost revenue. But I've been hearing about Ellenville and their money problems for 20 years. And now we're to a point where they're really behind the eight ball out of nowhere, and we're going to give them 170 grand. And to Kevin's point, I don't know. I didn't hear anything specific to how COVID created this $1.3 million deficit.
It'd be increasing expenses. And
$1.3 million because of COVID, that they wouldn't be, they wouldn't.
No. It's not $1.3 million. But that is part of how this got to where it is increasing expenses in the last thing. I didn't want to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't. Okay. Okay.
So there's a difference between consolidation and dissolution. Consolidation is where you shared services, you start to eliminate things where there's duplicative functions going on between towns and villages. That they are starting to work with the town on. As Mr. Evans pointed out, there's a new mayor, there's also two new town board members. Those conversations are finally starting to happen. That wall between the two municipalities, I've seen it go on for many years now, there's been a wall between it. One of the major differences between the other villages and the towns in the county that have combined together is all those towns had police departments. Worsing does not. Worsing does not have a townwide police department. So if the village were to dissolve, there goes the police department. There is no, the town,
well, you,
will, the town
well,
will not.
Well, you got to do what SOPUS did, and you get a substation from the county sheriff.
Yeah. As the volume I just pointed out, 4,000, and so this is a little different. So in 4,000 calls for service in 1 year, 4,100, to over 8,000 calls for service in the police department in 1 year's time, having a single substation for a deputy, which we already do, a mile outside the village is a sheriff's substation. It's not enough. I mean, even the sheriff will tell you, the sheriff's department is even supplementing what the village are tasked with in the police department and state police. There are multiple times where there are multiple agencies responding calls there because there are large, fortunately, large fights breaking out, large incidents have occurred, there's a lot of things going on that require us to have. I hate to say that, but it requires us to have a police department within the village. The volumes there require police presence in the village. But again, the consolidation.
What's the population of the village?
It's about 4,200 people.
Yeah, besides the SOPUS, and they have 10 times the calls.
It is.
I
did speak with somebody from the police department up there today, and he absolutely agreed. Because I asked, I'm like, you know, sheriff's department covering, and they're like, we need this department. The numbers are huge.
Well, in theory, the sheriff could supply the same manpower.
Staffing.
I quoted Aaron.
The gentleman that I spoke with even said, he's like, even with sheriff's department and the state police, there's just, it's constant. And even what they have now isn't enough to keep, you know, there's not enough police on the roads up there, so.
And legislative ruling, I'll say that, you know, thank you for listening to point out, because it really is the case. I'm sorry, I spoke to others, because I'm here one person. But these are all long-term, so there's short-term solutions, mid-range, and long-term. What you're discussing is long-term, and they are, as the mayor said in the last village board meeting, nothing is off the table for discussion about doing to help this long-term problem in the village. This is just short-term money to get them through to the bridge to get to the mountain money, and then also at the same time trying to get through the mountain money from M&T. That will get them through the end of this year fiscal cycle, which will at the same time as they're working on those things, they're working on with the town, with the county, with the sheriff's department, state police, whoever, to start to bring down the cost of doing those things but while maintaining services, because the city said it needs to have a police department here, unfortunately.
Well, that would be nice to be in the backup. All the things they're doing going into the future would have been nice to hear about.
Well, as part of the amendment, as Comptroller Gallagher had asked for, that's part of the amendment that's in there, is that the village has committed it, put it into the resolution now that they will be doing it. There is a commitment to the mayor. If you spoke to him, Mr. Roberts, you know, he walked into a mess. And he is committed to turning this around, so is the village board, and so is the town board now. They are having conversations finally. Those walls have been broken down, and again, this is a short-term solution. The longer term ones are going to take some time, unfortunately. But 2 to 4 weeks is what the mayor is telling me, based on cash flow from the bank statements. That's what they're 2 to 4 weeks before literally closing doors and having no police, no water, sewer. I mean, if you could just imagine services, not having the water coming through your pipes and the sewer working, that's where they're at. And so the other part I forgot is state controller's office. So they reach out to state controller's office. There's a financial restructuring board, FRB. They can apply to the FRB to have them come in and do an evaluation, give them a list of things that they would have to do, and they, for that, they can receive up to $5 million. The problem, again, this is a mid-range solution because that board doesn't meet until June. So assuming they meet and they take up the village as their cause, which considering the situation, I couldn't imagine that they wouldn't, but if they take up their cause, it will then take them several months to do an evaluation, present that to the village, and then the village would have to take those steps in order to get that up to $5 million in money to help them to do these consolidations, shared services, whatever recommendations they bring. But then, again, those are mid-range to long-term solutions. That's not the short-term. Controller Gallagher.
I wanted to thank you for amending the resolution to include the whereas about the steps that they're taking, and I was going to say, what about the fiscal restructuring board, but you got to it, so yeah. Thank you.
What would be the oversight? I mean, I know it's under $200,000, but who or what would be the oversight for that funding that they say that they need? I mean, is it for payroll? What is it earmarked for to get them through?
Yeah, I mean, well, they have been really, it's real payroll is what their only expenses right now. There is, so they were able to get the state to agree to let them. So usually in January or maybe it's beginning of February, there's the state retirement payment, which is lump sum usually is required. They've agreed to let them do it structured over the next few months until the end of the budget fiscal year, which is May 31st. So the normal lump sum that would have been paid, which would have literally put them out of cash today if they had paid it, will help them to stretch out a little bit further, which then again, if this 170 goes through, that gets them to the 500,000. So it would be, yeah, I mean, most of this is payroll because it's the most expensive thing in the village is payroll. That's their most expensive.
So currently there's no treasurer up there, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What happened there? Or? Is that a long story?
Well, I don't know if it's a long story. It's that they had the one that was there, he got a better job. That was a few years ago. They had one that I think worked for a little while, but wasn't working out. Then they had one of them I know took the job, was supposed to start, and then all of a sudden put in notice that they weren't going to because they were offered, I believe they were offered more money at their existing job. I don't know the fine deal. I'm not on the board. I just been trying to work with them and what they say publicly. I don't know behind the scenes the full story there, but yes, they are working on that. The county finance department has offered to help. I know the town of Worcester has offered to help. I can just say the hospital where I work full time has offered to help to do the work to get them up to date. They do have somebody helping them. I'm forgetting his name. Kingston, CPA, Cobard, I apologize, forgot his name, and it's going to make me crazy now. They're the CPA in Kingston who has volunteered to help them to get their books up to date and get them filed with the state. So that is being worked on, and I believe they have not already done so, they will be up to date with their within the next week.
And one more question. So if we didn't provide this money for them, what would happen? People not get paid?
Yeah, literally, there's no money. The doors get shut. The police department doesn't exist. The government operations doesn't exist. Water, sewer, none of those. It is that unfortunately desperate of a situation that the doors get shut. Yeah, literally, the government stops operating at that point.
And that's for how many people? Like, what's the population? You just said it, right?
41 to 80, fluctuates, obviously. Around 4,100, 4,200 residents. Yeah. And about 900 or so persons, I believe, that are you know, and quite honestly, and here's the other thing, you know, the county actually has people housed there, too. So if water sewer is not operating, not just, you know, the residents that live there, but also people that we put in for emergency housing out there also. And that is also a source of the police calls as well.
Yeah.
I support this, and I think that this is what ARPA funding is intended to do. I mean, the cost from increases of crime, mental health services, a lot of things that we know that Ellenville has to deal with and has been underserved to deal with for a long time, all of that increased during the pandemic years, well beyond this figure, and well beyond this figure plus the other aid they might get as an independent municipality. And so, I'm troubled by the urgency of this situation for them. You know, it kind of cuts both ways for me. But this seems like, exactly what you're saying, that if we provide this support, then things can right. They can get, into a more balanced, better place, and all those residents are served by it. So having this funding available, having that purpose designated at the federal level, it saves us, I think, from what would be a moral dilemma if we were asked to come up with funding from some other sources for this. That would be, for me, the hard question. But to use ARPA money for this really set, if they were coming to us at the beginning of that whole process, I think they could have put together a very nice package about that. I think we should go ahead and provide this funding and do everything else we can to help.
And I'll just say, this is unfortunately unfolding sort of
real time. Yeah.
And this just happened, and it got discovered that this, everybody who's worked with me for the last several years now knows I'm a very fiscally conservative guy, and I would never, even for my own municipality, would never ask for money if I didn't absolutely have to. And this actually came out of sort of last desperate move, because the original plan was to get the money from the making the village whole through taxes to the county. And when I had a meeting with the Commissioner of Finance and several other people, Deputy Catapano was there, it was discovered that because of the way state law, whatever it is, it spells out how you make villages whole, that the timeline wouldn't work, that they won't see money until 2025. That was about $400,000 that they were anticipating seeing this year in their budget to be able to use. When we discovered that wasn't going to happen, the idea was thrown out about what about ARPA, and that's when Nate got brought into the conversation, Amber got brought into it, literally in real time. This was happening as we're sitting around the table on the third floor, second floor, I forget where I was.
Is that what they're borrowing against?
What's that?
Are they borrowing against that money that we're going to be giving them when they get made whole? Or
so the $500,000 is what they'll be borrowing against from M&T. That's the TAN, the tax anticipation note. They'll be borrowing against money for outstanding taxes. But again, the M&T is a thing, can't happen in the next couple of weeks. That's a mid-range sort of solution. It just can't get them through this uninterruption of services.
Can we call it the Ellenville 100,000?
That's the one you can hold here.
I was just going to say that.
178,000. Can I follow up your answer, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Legislator Nolan points out that this is what ARPA is for. That's a stretch, too. But I'm going to add again that the village of Ellenville received $411,000. We don't know what they spent it on, do we, Mr. Chairman?
I'm not aware of what the money they received, specifically the $400,000 you're referring to. So
Ellenville themselves, the village of Ellenville, received $411,000.
Oh, but that was in previous year. That was this.
No, it was ARPA money from the federal government as we received $34 million and we spent it on stuff like sidewalks up in Shandaken and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I could get you that answer, but I can't get you tonight. But really don't
know
the answer to
that. I take that last comment back about the sidewalks up in.
Sidewalks in the city of Kingston.
I'm going to grudgingly support this. I definitely get the concern about like giving money to that's something that, you know, they mismanage. I mean, that's pretty cool. It's in the city. And we're trying to save them. At the same time, it's a village within our county. And I think we need to save them. We can save them. We also need to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And I think that'll be part of what we can try to monitor on this. But at this point, I don't see another solution. I don't see another solution other than, you know, really being in trouble. So it is a grudging thing. I hope other towns don't look at us and say, hey, you gave them money, why don't we get money too? Because they might have the right to say that. And we have to defend not doing that. So I do not like this idea, but at the same time, I don't see another solution that's going to be appropriate or going to work for the village. So, grudgingly support.
I echo Senator Collins' remarks. I will support this today, but I have no confidence that they won't be back here in 8 months looking for more. So they need to have a plan, whether it's the dissolution of the village or more consolidation or something. But, you know, we need some accountability.
So, again, I struggle with this, but I put a lot of thought behind it. This is people's livelihoods, and some people do live paycheck to paycheck. So for them not to have a paycheck, that's difficult. And everybody knows me, knows public safety is very important to me. I feel that's our number one priority in government is to provide safety to people, basic needs also, like you said, water and safety. And we have to remember that we are county legislators and they are our constituents. So.
I'm going to finish up with my comments that there are other solutions, as I brought up earlier, and I spoke to the mayor. Instead of giving them $178,000, he'd be willing to take a bridge loan from the county. I don't know if that's possible or not. ARPA and that contingency. We could also give every town a good thing. How could we do that? We can. We can give every town $200,000. There's an excess of sales tax. We can change your resolution today to give to include $178,000 every town, make this equitable, including the city of Kingston. They all love us for that. Public safety is important to me, and there's a lot of towns that go without public safety or not have the public safety they need. We have a part-time police department in Platte Hill. We can't afford a full-time. We could raise taxes to afford it, but we don't because there's people here depending on what we do in town and stuff. So, I mean, their safety is more important than us, other towns. I don't know. There's other options. I'm going to be a no on this, and if I'm the only one, and I will bring my point to the floor on Tuesday.
Sarah. I would just say that if they have even just 10 people that we are housing in Allen Hill, this money going to them will pay for itself very, very quickly, and I think they have many more than 10. So we could be, you know, paying money for a much different purpose and something further away than Ellenville, something out of Ellenville School District. So I see this as shoring up a system that is part of our community, and shoring up the community is a good thing.
What you spoke about as an alternate, is that something that could happen right away or not?
As what? Bridge loan or given everything?
Which one were you saying, the bridge loan or every county?
The bridge loan. We'll start with the bridge loan. Is that something I don't know anything about?
I asked the finance department, can the county loan a town or a village money?
Jason, did you know?
I asked that and I was told no.
So it definitely needs to be looked into from our standpoint. Yes, our understanding that that's not as easy said as done. They're coming down to the loaning and the rules of we have to request the gifting clause, all of that. We can certainly look at that and get back to the committee.
And I just, yeah, to that, that question was asked, and I think the initial reaction that the county attorney had, which I don't know if I mentioned, was at the table at that meeting,
yeah,
as well as at least one other county attorney, if not two, that he didn't think that would be allowable as an option. And again, every option was, you know, put discussed.
But we can, with the excess sales tax we have and a budget surplus of over $100 million, we can spend $2.6 million to give every town $200,000 of that money. And you know, you're in Lloyd. I'm sure your supervisor would love $200,000 to offset taxes to help with the safety of your town and keep the sewers running. And the same with Woodstock. I'm sure they would, you know, your village supervisor would appreciate that motion.
That's easy. That's a lot of money.
You know, I think that if we look at doing that, what we're doing is we're basically, we should ask those municipalities to go through what this municipality will probably be going through in the paper over the next couple of weeks. We should ask them to go through a process to restructure. We should treat them as though they are in crisis. And I don't know that it is a good idea to treat towns that are not in crisis as though they are in crisis. I mean, it sounds nice. But I would not, you know, I think this is ARPA funding, and I think there is a pandemic exacerbated crisis in this village, and they are not allowed to raise taxes. You're saying, you know, you could do it through some other mechanism. They don't have that mechanism available. So, you know, I'm happy to have people look for, you know, whether we can do a bridge loan. I'm happy to hear more about a proposition to treat all the other towns and villages and the city as though they have a need of this nature when they don't.
And I never said they had a need. I'm saying what's fair is fair. And also, I never said there's other mechanisms that was going to pull Ellenville out of this mess, because there is not. There is not. They're going to borrow money from the bank. They're going to get money from us. They're going to take money from the Mountain Reserve to come meet this $1 million shortfall. What about next budget season? Where are they going to come up with that $1.1 million?
They're cutting costs.
Yeah, $1.1 million.
Not to get biblical, but I think Kevin's point is it's kind of a prodigal village type situation where all these other towns and villages have made decisions they've made that they've needed to make to keep their head above water, and a lot of the issues that we're hearing about probably should have and could have been avoided, and it's bad management for the most part that got us to this point. We're using ARPA loosely, whether anyone says different, I disagree. It's loose, well, it's legal, but we're using it loosely, and I think what we're concerned about is setting a precedent when we're going to be back at the table in 6 months or a year. And they're going to be in the same situation, and we've all now started we've created a situation where now when municipalities in our county make poor decisions, they're going to come to us and ask us to bail them out somehow. It is a lot harder. A couple of days ago, Ellenville was going, hey, give us a couple of bucks, we're fixing up a park over here. 3 days later, and we're all going to die if you don't give us $170,000. I mean, so it is a little alarming at 2 weeks from now, the whole village of Ellenville shutting down without a lot of examples of how they're going to get off the path they're on. And there are a lot of towns and villages that have done a better job and have made sacrifices all along to avoid being in a situation like this. And now we bailed the one place out that didn't make the decisions they needed to make. And I do think Ellenville is probably in a tougher situation than a lot of places in the county, but there's a lot of places that there's all the other towns and villages have done a much better job managing themselves. I don't know who the heck the village trustees or whatever were over there for the last couple of years. What's going on over
there?
The mayor?
The mayor just got to be the trustee.
I just have a question. I thought I heard earlier on that we're only able to give here, just the Village of Ellenville money through ARPA. Mm-hmm. We can't give them money regardless of other circumstances. So much as I like the idea of money going to every town, I don't think we can do that necessarily. So I don't think it's even an option to have that proposal.
We have in the past.
Okay, if we can do it, obviously.
We've heard satisfactory revenue in the past.
Okay. So, again, no one likes this. I don't like this. But at the same time, I don't know a better solution short term that's going to keep them out of receivership for a town or for a village, whatever that is for a village.
And I'll say it once and I'll say it again, and I'll say it for 100 times. I don't like it either. I really wish there was another solution, and if there somebody has one, please. But I can tell you right now, I've been through everybody who could possibly have the answer, and so far, this is the only option that gets it through the short term. I've heard there's no other solution that has been offered up yet. And I've been devoting a lot of time, and not just myself, but a lot of people in Ellenville to try to turn this around. Their normal village board meetings have about the most 10 people show up to those meetings from the public. I can tell you since this has been announced as a problem in the end of December, or maybe it was maybe the first or so week of January, there have been 30 to 40 people showing up, a lot of people with expertise in different fields who have all offered to help. I have offered to help with their budgeting as well going forward. They're in their budget started. They're starting out in February for a June 1st fiscal year. So I have also offered to help them. The town has offered to help them. Everybody should be on this. This is an all hands on deck approach, and I certainly will not be back to this body asking for anything else. Because it's, you know, this is the only solution that I can think of.
How about Novo? Anybody talk to Novo? Have they like throw money around? They want to help people.
I don't know. I can't speak for the village board. I don't know who the
person is.
I don't know what's
And they have a process also.
So as Chair Barr said, we all batted this around a lot. Part of these conversations have also included the Sheriff's Office to the extent on if Ellenville doesn't have cash flow in 2 weeks, what does that mean for the Sheriff's Office? To Chair Barr's point, the volume within such a small limit really would put additional stress on an office that's already not fully staffed. To use the other word, but that stress would put additional resource needs on our county coffers as well. So this was really the only option we were able to collectively come up with in the short term. We're viewing this as the way to get Ellenville to the restructuring board and really get that restructuring board. When we get to the restructuring board, there will be a plan requirement. That's where this will have to get into conversations mm-hmm. with town, with us, about what will happen, what shared services will happen, and what is your plan.
Any other discussion? John, what is the vote on the referendum for the Mountain Reserve Fund?
That's in, I think Monday is the, I guess, the first or second public hearing on it, but I believe that this Monday is Village Board meeting, so I think there's a meeting on that, that's the public hearing, and then the actual vote, I think, is in a week or two after that.
Rather quickly then.
Yeah, it was, I could go back a little bit to the date, but within the last 2 weeks is when they first announced that they were going through that and started the process. There's a 30-day notice period, and then you have to notice once you have your public hearing to be able to go out and have the actual vote. I guess it's relatively short. So again, this is short-term solutions, not neighboring. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, forthcoming resolutions, this is here, Comptroller Gallagher.
Thank you. Sorry to keep you all a little bit longer, but you might want to know where you stand financially. Welcome to Commissioner Finance, taking the opportunity to make quarterly reports to you guys. That would be great, too. We do quarterly reports, but they lag by quite some months, and I'll explain that in a moment. I wanted to just let you know that 2023 sales tax is up to $167.9 million. We budgeted $167. We're more than 100% there. We have one more payment coming next week. It'll probably be around $2 million. comptroller's office is estimating it'll close out 23 with 170 million in sales tax. Next year is budgeted at 167 conservatively. On the expenditures, occupancy tax, 118% of budgeted for last year. There were 3.7 million, and there's still payments coming because that doesn't include Q4. Budgeted interest income in 2023, the budgeted number, 551,000, actual 4.6 million, or 875% above budget. So thank you for the movement in that. And that does not include the December or November interest income entries. We are behind, there is an accounting backlog in finance, and I'm going to mention this a few times. This is not to say the finance team isn't doing hard work, but I need to tell you guys, these lagging journal entries are an internal control issue. Timely and accurate journal entries should be an absolute priority of the organization, and I know that it is for the Commissioner of Finance. We do have a staffing issue there, and we are behind in what we need to do. On the expenditure side, we're going to continue to see expenditures entered into the accounting system for 2023 for quite some time. And at this time, I can't give you a solid look back at 23. Normally, we don't produce our fourth quarter report until May of the following year. That is very late, and it is not something that we appreciate. We wish we could do it earlier. I know the finance department is struggling to make entries. We will be transitioning the bank reconciliation process from our office to the finance department. That is going to give them the opportunity to see things that need to be adjusted and entered into the financial system earlier. We see things hit the bank that are not in the financial system. Again, this is an internal control issue. I want to issue a congratulations to the finance team. The comprehensive annual financial report for 2022 and the audit was finally finished this week. We took bets in our office. Charleston still won the bet. He had bet February back in September. We know that staffing and turnover and workload is an issue there. On the audit side, we're in the testing and analysis phases of our health insurance and corporate compliance audits. We're working on a snapshot on opioid settlement funds. I'm hoping to get out the door, and we'll see the CARES 1 audit go to management for comment probably next week. Quarterly reports are going to be delayed, as I mentioned, because of financial transaction entry, accounting entry. It's going to take some time. We never completed a financial fourth quarter report for 2022. The numbers weren't done. We couldn't do it. And I'm not sure that I'll task my team in going back on that right now. We may just look to 23. And then on the quality and analyst side, I want to say that we have reviewed 85 2022 constituent services contracts that were high impact constituent service areas. We've gathered the reporting under those contracts. We're working on putting together a summary report review all in the legislature on what our findings were from gathering those that hopefully could inform maybe future contract drafting. And we're also working on a quality analyst survey tool that'll be available to everyone. I think it's interesting the point on the Office of the Aging Food Service. You know, hopefully this will be something that will have a QR code that can be shared to all constituents who are accessing at Ulster County Services for an opportunity to speak to it. And then I just want to mention one other thing that I see as a risk to Ulster County at this time, which is that we have a lot of turnover. We are losing a lot of professional staff. The deputy controller has resigned. She is taking a position that pays significantly more. We've lost a number of county attorneys. I see the district attorney coming to you for pay raises. I'm not asking you for raises for my department right now, but I am begging you to think about the raises that are coming for the attorneys. The attorneys in Ulster County are terribly underpaid. We are losing them to other jurisdictions, and you are going to see contract approvals come to almost a grinding halt without changes. So, and that is going to hurt constituent services, is going to hurt the business of the county if we cannot get contracts done. The county executive's not here asking you for more money, but I'm trying to soften you up, and I haven't talked to her about this. I just see this as a risk to Ulster County. We are losing professional staff. It's going to be very easy for you to say, let's wait for the salary study. But what I'm telling you is, I don't think you can wait on some of these positions. Some of these positions you need to fill now, and you are not competitive. We're not competitive to fill these positions. So that's a risk to the county I wanted you to be aware. I'm happy to answer any questions.
With regards to the last thing you said, look, we've got rank and file people. We're losing carpenters. We're losing COs. The salary study is long overdue. I hope the salary study is better than the space study and some of these other things. We go out and then we get something that we can't really use. Should be pretty easy to compare the way we pay DAs to other counties, ADAs. So, and it should be done. We just got done with the budget cycle. I mean, these things should have, I think we did 7.5% for all lawyers. Maybe we should have done more, but it just, it's, I'm going to be a little upset because I'm worried about DPW. I'm worried about corrections. I'm worried about the rank and file. They're vastly underpaid, and they're not even making a living wage. They're working two to three jobs. So, yes, lawyers are underpaid, but at least they can put food on the table and be home at night with their kids.
With their paycheck from Orange County, which is where they're going now.
That's right. So are the COs?
Yes.
So are the carpenters?
Yes.
You mentioned insurance. Are you going to be able to tell us whether or not self-insurance is costing us more than a more traditional approach?
We're looking at that right now.
I get a lot of complaints. And how many of those, the quality analysts are going to include surveys and feedback from actual people receiving the services?
Well, this is the thing, you know, I would love more people to answer surveys. I mean, I've surveyed the legislature. I have two responses. You were one of them, Legislator Maloney, so thank you for that. So it's very hard to actually get people to respond, but we at least want to open a window to do it, and we are not opposed to site visits also. So I think that is the best way to do it, is to actually have the quality analyst on site where services are being delivered, talking to people, and that's really going to be our goal.
Yeah, this place is all these
smart. Okay, now just a question. Polly asked, when will these those summary reports and all that be ready?
I would say March.
You think you're ready to actually present it, Mark?
Yeah, we could be on your agenda to share with you what we've got, because we've gone through 85 contracts, requested all the, you know, the reporting from those, and that would be great.
Okay, let's talk offline about it and how long you need, and maybe even. Thanks for me for that, because I think it was helpful to see when she, you know, had a PowerPoint and showed us what she's been working on. It was very eye-opening. Mr. Kovacs, you were out for some of these. Do you want to register your vote for 9, 10?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will vote yes on all the resolutions.
Okay. 9, 10, 11, 12, and 15.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? If not, can I have a motion to return?
Second.
Second, Mr. Nolan, discussion. All those in favor?